Good morning. Again, my name is Kyle Thompson. I'm the College and Engaged Minister here at Shiloh Road, and we are so glad that you've joined us. We want to welcome all of you joining us online as well. Yesterday afternoon, I was blessed to be able to go and experience a wedding, and I like that because I love weddings. I really enjoy just that moment, that opportunity that they have where a couple gets to express their love and be united in this covenant relationship with one another. I especially love weddings when two Christians get together because, man, that's just such a really, really cool experience. One of the things that I think is most fascinating about weddings, and it's something that I noticed yesterday as Kenzie and I were sitting there, we got there a little early. We were just waiting, kind of trying to stay in the shade, not going out to the, you know, blazing sun just yet. And we saw people walking out and doing all sorts of things right there at the end to make sure that everything was perfect. Weddings are special, but weddings are not just special because they're a wedding. They're special because of how much preparation and effort actually goes into them. Any of you who have been a part of a wedding, any of you who have seen a wedding, certainly any of you who have helped plan a wedding, you know weddings take a lot of effort, and they require a lot of preparation. And it was no different for me and Kenzie on our wedding. We had so many people coming to help us and to make it happen. In fact, one of my favorite people was one of Kinsey's friends who provided the flowers for this ceremony. And I'll just show you a picture of these flowers because, my goodness, they were gorgeous. Isn't that incredible? Man, it was in the fall, so this doesn't really fit with our spring right now. But these flowers were phenomenal, and they had flowers lining all of the aisles and everything. It was an incredible event, and it took so many people getting everything and everyone ready. And I remember Kenzie, as she approached the area the little ceremony was happening in out at Camp Deer Run. We had this little grove under the trees, and she was getting ready off in the camp house, and she got in a golf cart with her dad. Phenomenal ride. You know, I've been to weddings where they get out of, like, nice Mercedes or, you know, Ferrari. She got a little white golf cart, but she's ready, right? She gets there with her dad, and we've all gone through. The procession has happened. We're all standing up there. We're all getting ready, and we're waiting for the bride to arrive. And that music hits, and everybody stands, and we start to make that turn to look down the aisle. Kinsey's standing there with her dad, and her hair looks phenomenal. Her hair's ready. She's got her shoes on. She's got that beautiful dress that she's getting to wear that her grandmother and her grandmother's sister actually wore, and her grandmother's standing down there waiting to see her walk down the aisle in that dress. She's got something new. She's got something old. She's got something borrowed. She's got something blue. I butchered that, but hey. So we got her hair, check. She's got the shoes, check. She's got the dress, check. She's got something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Check, 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 check. And she looks down in her hands, and her hands are empty. No bouquet. Almost. In Matthew 25, Jesus shares a parable. It's this story about a wedding, but more specifically about some bridesmaids. And he shares this story, and at that time, in their tradition, a lot would go into weddings just like now, but some of the things were pretty different. In that time, if a man wanted to just get the chance to ask a woman to marry him, he would have to find out how much it was going to cost. Not to purchase her, but just to purchase the opportunity to ask for her hand in marriage. And if they said yes, like, we'll take that price, then they would get both families together and they would have a big meal. And at this big meal, there would be a moment where the man nervously, I'm like, man, it was a lot of pressure asking Kinsey to marry me when it was just the two of us out in the woods all alone. But he's sitting there with not only his family, but all of her family as well. And at some point, he takes a glass of wine, and he lifts it up, and he offers it to the woman, and he says, "This is my covenant." And if she says yes, she is saying yes to, "Will you marry me?" And she says yes, that means that all the preparation must really begin. The engagement is upon them, and throughout the entirety of the engagement, they would separate. They wouldn't see each other at all. The man would go off to prepare while he would leave the bride there to get ready. And he would go to his father's house. See, in that culture, they didn't go and you know, buy a new house or build a new house. No, he would go to his father's house, and he would have all these rooms or apartments, and he would start building. He would start renovating, making sure that he and his new bride would have a place to start a family. Some of you grooms out there who have helped with weddings are thinking, I would much rather have gone off and built a house than answer questions about flowers and colors of things, right? But for the entirety of this engagement, they wouldn't see each other at all. And they would have no idea when the moment was going to come, when the groom would come back for his bride. Because it wasn't up to the bride, it wasn't up to the groom. It was up to the father of the groom. As he's building and excited, he wants to get back. I imagine that he is working feverishly to get this done. And he's preparing this place for his bride, and he keeps asking his dad, Dad, is it good enough? Dad, is this good? Is it ready? Is this enough? Is this good enough for her? Can I go? And it wasn't until the father looked at him and said, Son, everything's ready. Go get your bride. And so when that time finally came, the waiting would be over. He would send word to his bride to say, hey, we're coming. He'd gather all of his groomsmen up, and they would have this big celebration, and they would get this processional going to go and bring his bride back for the wedding to start their life together. The bride better be ready. She'd have no idea. And so in this story, in this parable in Matthew 25, we have two sets of people, two groups of people. We have the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. You know that one is foolish because they grab their lamps. That's their light, right? So maybe late at night they get word, hey, the groom is coming and we need to go out to meet him. Grab everything you need. And so five of them grab their lamp, but they don't grab any oil. Modern times, that's like grabbing a flashlight and not having any batteries for it. Well, we don't really carry around flashlights, so it'd be like grabbing your cell phone and not having the charger. They're foolish. They're not ready. Meanwhile, the other five, they're wise. Why are they wise? Because they grab their lamp and they grab some extra oil just in case. Just in case he gets caught up and he can't make it quite as quickly as he would hope. Just in case, let's bring a little extra so that we know that we are prepared. And so, they go out to meet the bridegroom. They're all ready. They're anxious. They've been waiting for this moment. They were told that the bridegroom would be delayed in his coming. And so, one thing that all 10 of them, both the wise and the foolish, do is they all fall asleep. It gets late, man. They're tired. They've probably been doing all sorts of preparation for who knows how long, and they're finally ready, but it's late at night, and all 10 of them fall fast asleep while they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. And it says around midnight or in the middle of the night, they hear a shout. It says, wake up, come, join us, because the bridegroom is here. And they're startled, right, as you would be. And they wake up, they jump up, and the bridesmaids are scrambling to trim their wicks to get their lights lit again so that they can go out and meet the bridegroom. And the five that have the oil, they're ready. But the five that don't, they turn to the ones that do. And just like that kid in class who, as the teacher's walking around picking up the homework, is like, hey, can I see your answers? They say, hey, give me some of your oil. Come on, he's coming. I need your oil. And the response is no. No, because, you see, we probably don't have enough for all of us. No, instead, you need to go and buy some oil and then join us. And we turn to verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door shut. They missed their opportunity. Verse 11, they arrive. Later, the others also came, and they said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. They said, Lord, Lord. And his response is, "Why would you call me by that name? I do not know you." And they get there. Sure, they're a little late. You know, it's busy season. We're getting ready for a wedding, right? You got to ask, does anybody else wonder where is the grace in that? This is Jesus talking. Jesus telling a parable, telling a story about the kingdom of God, and you wonder, where's the grace in that? Where is the grace for the people who, sure, maybe they didn't have everything already just in case, but they were there, weren't they? They showed up just a little late. Couldn't you just open the door and let them back in? And we hear Jesus' words in verse 13. He says, "Therefore, keep watch." Some versions may say stay alert or stay awake, right? If you know the New Testament stories about Jesus in the garden as he's about to be betrayed, he tells his disciples, his followers, to stay awake, watch. Watch with me, stay alert. He says, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, so stay awake and keep watch with me. And his command here is the same. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And we ask, where's the grace? Well, let's not forget that all 10 of the bridesmaids fell asleep. The one command, the one key takeaway from this story is watch, stay awake, keep alert. And not a single one of them did that. I think it's because preparation does not mean perfection. Our preparation as the waiting bride, our preparation does not equal perfection. When the bridegroom arrived, neither of the groups was perfect, but it was extremely obvious which group was prepared to start the relationship. The other group disregarded the relationship entirely because they weren't preparing. They thought, or seemingly said, if what I have right now isn't good enough, then that's on you. If my lamp alone isn't enough to make it, then so be it. Meanwhile, five others said, you know what, we're going to do everything we can. We are going to prepare because we know that he's coming. And even if he gets delayed, we don't want to be caught off guard. And as we read through scriptures, we actually find out that this parable about bridesmaids, we're not the bridesmaids. As the church, as the body of believers in Jesus Christ, we are the bride of Christ. That he's not coming just for some bridesmaids. No, he's coming for us. And we as the bride, way more than just bridesmaids, need to be preparing for him. And it, just as Jesus offers this cup of the covenant, we are the ones who have said yes. We're the ones who have said yes, and we eagerly await his return because like he says in John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Believe me, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it weren't true, I would have told you. But just as I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you. And so Jesus says, watch and wait. The question is, how are we preparing for his return? Perfection or preparation does not equal perfection because we're not preparing to achieve perfection. We're preparing to receive perfection. I'll say that one more time. We're not preparing to achieve perfection as if it's some goal to reach or as if that we would be capable of having enough or being enough or doing enough. No, we're preparing to receive perfection because it is only by our bridegroom, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can receive anything. Our preparation is about anticipation. It's this eagerly waiting and watching, knowing that we are the bride of Christ and that one day he will come back to take us with him to be where he is. And here's why I think preparation is so important. Because when the time comes, when the bridegroom gets here, the reality is that we can't borrow our neighbor's oil. You might say, you can't borrow somebody else's faith. And so, when that day comes and you look down at your hands, will they be empty? Kinsey's standing there. We're waiting for the bride, and she looks down, and her hands are empty. Now, I know what you're thinking. Are you really about to say in front of a room full of people that your bride was not ready for her wedding day? No. I'm smarter than that. You see, Kinsey was not there that day to wear a dress or to hold a thing of flowers. Kinsey was there that day to enter into a marriage, a covenant relationship, and she was beyond prepared to make that happen. Thankfully, standing beside her is our wedding coordinator, our friend Alex, and she says, "Where is your bouquet?" She freaks out. She looks over at the table where guests are checking in, and she grabs the flowers out of the vase and shakes off the water. She hands it to her, puts it in her hands, and she says, "You look beautiful. Go." I have to throw this in there. I want to show Kinsey all the grace in the world for forgetting her bouquet, because you know I mentioned she rode over there in a golf cart? Remember who I said she rode with? Her dad. For the very last time. Gosh. After that golf cart ride, she took my name. Sorry. Where's the grace? Here's a picture of her with her dad in that golf cart. I'm sorry I lied. It was black. I thought it was white. I had other things to think about. She grabs these flowers and she walks down the aisle. And you know what her groom wasn't thinking about? Which flowers she had. No, her groom looked up at her and bawled like a baby. And her response was to laugh at me. So, there's that. When Jesus returns, he's going to be looking for his bride. The thing I hope that you take away from this is Jesus is not looking for perfect people. Jesus is looking for people who have prepared their hearts for him. My question for you this morning is, how are you preparing your heart? Maybe a better question for us to get a little practical with this is, how can you prepare your heart? I have a few ideas. You know, they say in relationships, one of the biggest downfalls is due to lack of communication or maybe bad communication. How's your prayer life? Are you going to God with everything that you've got? Are you sharing with him the joys and the sufferings of your day-to-day life? And not only are you sharing with God what's on your heart, but are you listening to him? Are you taking his word daily and seeing what he may have for you? And finally, are you doing what Jesus says? You see, the answer, I think, for us, if we have said yes to Christ, is to intensify our intimacy with him. Intensify intimacy, because you don't get closer by just being and sitting and doing nothing. In fact, you likely get further and further away. I encourage you. Increase or intensify your intimacy. And remember that Jesus is preparing a place for prepared people. You see, I'm not the bride of Christ. You specifically as an individual sitting here this morning are not the bride of Christ. We collectively are the bride of Christ. It's not just one person. It's not just me that Jesus saved and died for and is coming back for. No, that's very special and true. But it's only true in as much as I'm a part of this. I'm a part of the believers, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And remember, we're not preparing to achieve perfection. We're preparing to receive perfection. And it's in that waiting, and it's in that longing, and that anticipation as we prepare for that day to come, that the world will look at us and see the love that we have for one another, and they will know and glorify our Father who is in heaven. I want to read for us from Revelation 19. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." I'll say it again. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you that we get to come together as your bride and celebrate you and encourage one another to prepare for your return. Father, help us to never get legalistic or be worried about perfection, but Father, to know that we only receive perfection when you finally send Jesus here to take us home. Father, help us to live that out this week, to live into our identity collectively as the bride of Christ. Father, give us the courage and the strength to do just that in small but incredibly meaningful and powerful ways, Lord. Father, we love you. And we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you most for Jesus and your Holy Spirit. It's through Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.